Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend, we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's go to our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 4 through 6 and 8 through 9. And here it is. Early in the morning, Moses went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, taking along the two stone tablets. Having come down in a cloud, the Lord stood with Moses there and proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before him and cried out, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. Moses at once bowed down to the ground in worship. Then he said, if I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people. Yet pardon our wickedness and sins and receive us as your own. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Exodus, my friends, we are given a great message about the attributes of Jesus Christ. And truly, the Lord is our role model. Are we following the Lord? Are we growing in faith and embracing the attributes of Jesus Christ? We talk about the Lord as being merciful, gracious, slow to anger, kind. He has fidelity. And if we look at ourselves objectively, my friends, are we merciful towards other people? Or do we hold back? Is there room for improvement? Because the Lord's mercy is infinite, and he calls us truly to forgive unconditionally. He calls us to be gracious, as he is described as a gracious God. He is patient, slow to anger. And where do we stand on graciousness, patience? He's rich in kindness. Are we holding back, my friends, or do we express kindness towards other people? I want you to give it some thought, my friends, because as we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven, we are called to a new life in Christ, to embrace the attributes of Jesus himself, to become more like Jesus himself. And We want to be really changing, growing, blossoming, and becoming a new person who is rooted in the Word of God. And this is Jesus Christ himself. And the Word goes on to tell us that Moses tells the Lord, "This is a stiff-necked people. Yet pardon our wickedness and sins and receive us as your own." So we know today, my friends, that there are some people who are stiff-necked. They are stubborn, unwilling to submit to God, unwilling to acknowledge Jesus Christ. There are those out there who will advocate for the removal of the Word of God, as was done many years ago in the public school system, the removal of the ability to pray in school. The Word of God was removed. And there are those, my friends, who would have it that way. But you and I, like St. Paul, like the apostles, like Abraham, and many of the prophets, like Moses, we are called to stand up for the faith. And we stand up for the faith because the Lord calls us to. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet." So we have been called to stand up strong for the faith. And with the attributes of Jesus Christ, we can change the world one person at a time. We can do our parts, like Mother Teresa, like St. John Newman, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like St. Paul. We too are called to speak up strongly for the faith, to bring great love to the people, the love of God, the peace of God through the Word of God. But here today in our first reading, we are called to be merciful, to be gracious, to be patient, slow to anger. We are called to be kind, to forgive others unconditionally, slow to anger. And divine anger only lasts but a moment, says the Word of God, but divine favor lasts a lifetime. And the Lord calls us, my friends, once again, to change in our habit patterns, to change our character, to grow in faith, to make those changes. Like St. Paul himself, the great persecutor of the church, the old to the new. What habit patterns must you eliminate from your personality? What is it, my friends, that you do every day that is not aligned with our Lord Jesus Christ? God calls us to make changes to a higher standard. He's calling us, my friends, to treat others as we would like to be treated. How do we treat other people? Can we do better? Is there room for improvement? Are we coming up short? In the eyes of God, my friends, are you and I merciful? Are we gracious? Are we patient, slow to anger? Are we kind? I want you to think about this and make a decision, a firm decision, to come on board with what we are told here by Moses in the book of Exodus. It's very powerful. This program is about change, practical changes that help us to grow closer to God, to become better men, better women, better husbands and fathers, better mothers and wives. God calls us to a new life in Christ. I challenge you today, my friends, to examine yourself and to see whether or not your standards can be heightened so that we can raise ourselves up just a little bit closer to the way God would have us do it. I challenge you today, my friends. Let's go to our second reading from 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 to 13, and here it is. Brothers and sisters, rejoice, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the holy ones greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our second reading from St. Paul to the Corinthians, St. Paul tells us that we have to mend our ways, to encourage one another. Mending our ways to bring people together, to unite versus divide. And there are things out there that will divide people, families, brothers and sisters, cousins, fathers and sons. Things like jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego. There are things that will divide us in the world, my friends. And it's up to you and I to have the humility that will be brought to us via the Holy Spirit so that we can mend our ways and follow what St. Paul tells us to do, to encourage one another, to lift people up, to agree with one another versus always disagree, and to live in peace. And the Lord tells us so often, peace be with you, peace be upon you. He calls us to a life filled with peace. And if we live that way, the God of love and peace will be with us. And so this is a powerful reading from St. Paul to the people of Corinth. And we are called once again to mend our ways. If you look at your life, the relationships in your life, are there relationships that are broken, that need mending, need repair? Are there people in your family or friendships who have gone astray for one reason or another? What can we do to make amends? God calls us once again through the mouth of St. Paul. The words of St. Paul are powerful. He says, mend your ways and then encourage one another. Agree with one another and live in peace. And when we do all that, it's again, the God of love and peace will be with us. Isn't that where we want to be ultimately? With the God of love and the God of peace. So if you look at your life, examine our lives, where is there brokenness, division? Where do we need unity to be united? And God says, you know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength. And the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love one another. Are we doing that the best that we can? Or are we holding back, unwilling to love other people, unwilling to express ourselves verbally, I love you, please forgive me, thank you, it's so good to see you, good morning? Are we holding back, my friends, or are we giving the very best that we can give and following in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ, who really calls us to, once again, a life of mercy towards other people, to be gracious towards other people, to be kind, to be patient, to be forgiving? Are we doing that? Or is it our pride or ego that's holding us back? Only you know your situation. And if there's room for improvement, changes to be made, I encourage you now to pray through the Holy Spirit that our Father in heaven will enlighten the Holy Spirit within you to mend your ways and to encourage those who are important to you, those who matter most to you. Very often there is division within a family. And recently I went to a wedding with my wife, and there was no gratitude towards God. No mention of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not even a prayer before the meal was said. And I thought, how sad. What a wasted moment, an opportunity gone by where God was not acknowledged. And the family truly was a faithful family, but the children were away from the church, on their own path, unwilling to acknowledge Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven during the wedding. Not even a blessing before the meal was said. And I just tell you that, my friends, because there are families out there who struggle to bring their children along that journey of faith, and who are disappointed, who are frustrated, who are angry. And God calls us, my friends, to once again a life in Christ, but very often our children are going off in a different direction. So we pray for those families who are truly challenged today because of children who are challenging the existence of God, children who are on their own pathway doing WFG, what feels good, versus what God says to do. We pray for those families, and we pray for those individuals who are lost sheep, that God will bring them back, bring them home, because he is the good shepherd. So we pray for those, and the word of God says this, to greet one another with a holy kiss, and to truly acknowledge the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, this weekend, we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. And in the word here from St. Paul to the people of Corinth, St. Paul says, may the grace from our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And he encompasses the Trinity. Very often, St. Paul will use these words to address the people that he is speaking to in different cities. And he covers a lot of territory. God the Father, the creator of the world, of heaven and of earth, the Father of all mankind, who created man and woman, who sent our Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago into the world through our Blessed Mother Mary, who preached for 40 days, and then our Lord ascended into heaven on a cloud with thousands of people to see. 9 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit and gave the authorization to the apostles. He gave the go-ahead, the green light for the apostles to forgive the sins of the people. And we just celebrated Pentecost last weekend, and this weekend we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. So he brings it all together, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hence, when we baptize children, we baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We do exactly what St. Paul has given us in the grace from our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Those children, all children, are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The power of the Trinity is there. The Word of God says, when a woman has a child in the name of Jesus, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, she receives the love of God the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. That's why the bond between a mother and a child is so great. It's a lifetime. It's special. And God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together make up that Trinity that we refer to today. And we celebrate that once again, the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. We acknowledge the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And as temples of the Holy Spirit, objectively speaking, my friends, are we taking care of our temples, feeding ourselves spiritually, mentally, and physically, or are we neglecting the temple of the Holy Spirit? Are we abusing our minds, bodies, or souls? Where do you stand, my friends, in taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit? Once again, is there room for improvement? Can we do more for the mind, the body, and the soul? I challenge you to step up your game, my friends, and to do the very best you can to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit, your body, your mind, and your soul. Let's go to our gospel reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, and here it is. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John today, we are told that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And once again, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so powerful an event that world time is based on the resurrection of Jesus. The Word of God says, whoever believes in him, referring to Jesus, will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God, referring to Jesus Christ. What is it that you and I believe, my friends? And remember, the Word of God tells us that we are to believe with our hearts and confess with our tongues. That is what we must do to get to heaven, to live in eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. What is it that you and I believe? Do we express that belief, or are we reluctant? Do we hold back? Are we embarrassed to even mention our belief, our philosophy? to even incorporate the Word of God into a family meal as a blessing. Where do you stand, my friends? Because the Word of God once again tells us, whoever does not believe has already been condemned. And he's not condemned by me, he's condemned by God. This is powerful. But whoever does believe will never be condemned. And that's the zone we want to be in, my friends. We want to be with God. We're either with him or against him. And in the world today, God needs as many of us as he can get, because we are called to a life in Christ. We are given free will, but God wants us on board. He is open the door, no one to be excluded. The door is wide open, but it's up to you and I, once again, to believe with our hearts and confess with our tongues that Jesus Christ is Lord. And with that, we have an opportunity to go to heaven with our Lord and our Father. Where do you stand in that belief? And if you know other people who are lukewarm, unable to express their faith, people who are coming to church on Christmas and Easter, people coming to church late all the time, defocused, undisciplined, irreverent, using profanity. Where do we stand? We're not perfect, my friends, but can we do better? Can we do a better job of showing respect towards our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven? Respect for the temple of the Holy Spirit? Can we raise the standards? Don't accept mediocrity. In the eyes of God, where do we stand on belief? With our hearts, are we mild, moderate, or at a higher level? God's calling us to the higher levels, my friends. He is calling us to step up our game and to truly, once again, believe with our heart and confess with our tongues. And anybody who denies our Lord will deny before his Father in heaven. And we definitely don't want that. So I challenge you today, my friends, on the solemnity of the most holy Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to make a commitment to raising your game in terms of expressing your faith and your belief with your heart, and confess with your tongue that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. That's our show for today. May God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. Have a great day. God bless. We'll see you next time here on Clear for Takeoff at Holy Spirit Radio. Have a great weekend. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.